Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Seth Halfhacker.
Good morning, everyone.
We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have some fun today. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. A little bit later, we got some other fun stuff we'll touch on here. I wanted to get into, we got an interesting one here, Seth. Got a back and forth.
Okay.
Millennials are sharing things that boomers love saying.
Okay.
And boomers are responding with things that millennials love saying.
Oh, there you go.
So we're gonna cover both of those on that one. We got that coming up. How much time parents spend shopping with their kids, then shopping alone? Kind of an interesting one.
An interesting look on that one, yeah.
People, how many percentage of people eat their French fries with salt? I'm going to get into that, too. Ooh. Got that one coming up.
And of course, I thought it was everyone.
a lot of people, yeah, it seems like. 8 o'clock hour, of course, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. In the 9 o'clock hour, we will kick things off with our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. We will have Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day. And, of course, we will be talking about, throughout the next 3 hours, Civic Media's $1 million advertising giveaway.
We're here. We made it.
Today is the day, everybody. Today is the day. It's not days. It's 1 hour and 53 minutes and 53 seconds you got until this kicks off.
Wow.
Want to get into that in a moment, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we have to talk about this. I don't know, not just we, like people in general should be talking about this. I'm not, for a lot of reasons that we'll get into, but let's go ahead and dive into the topic, our opening monologue topic for today. The Earth is stopped. The Earth just stopped.
Huh?
Our core just stopped.
Oh, no.
It's not moving.
What?
Nothing's going on.
Oh.
It's just sitting there, lazy, not working, has one job. You got one job, Earth's core. Just
keep spinning.
You keep spinning. the rotation of the Earth's inner core may have paused, and it could even go into reverse, new research suggests.
Whoa.
The Earth is formed of the crust, the mantle, and the inner and outer cores. Mm-hmm. The solid inner core is situated by about 3,200 miles below the Earth's crust and is separated from the semi-solid mantle by the liquid outer core.
Mm-hmm.
We all knew this already.
Of course.
Everybody knows. No, I don't know how many of us really knew that. With a radius of almost 2,200 miles, the Earth's core is about the size of Mars.
Ooh.
It consists mostly of iron and nickel and contains about two-thirds of the Earth's mass.
Real? Whoa, I didn't know that. Ooh, cool.
In research published in the Journal of Natural Geoscience on Monday, Yin Yang announced that research scientists at Peking University that he teaches at, that they studied the semisonic waves from earthquakes that have passed through the Earth's inner core along similar paths since the 60s to infer how fast the inner core is actually spinning.
Oh, wow.
What they found was very unexpected. They said since 2009, semisonic records, which previously changed over time, showed little difference. This, they said, suggested that the inner core rotation had paused. The spin of the inner core is driven by the magnetic field generated in the outer core and balanced by the gravitational efforts by the mantle. Knowing how the inner core rotates could shed light on how these layers interact and others process deep in the Earth.
Hmm.
However, the speed of this rotation and whether it varies is debatable. Geophysicist at the Australian National University was not involved in the study, says the inner core doesn't come to a full stop, he said. The study finding means that the inner core is now more in sync with the rest of the planet than a decade ago when it was spinning a bit faster.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
So it's just keeping pace with the rest of the world now.
Okay.
Now, there's many scientists who've dedicated their lives to this, to the study of the Earth's core and understanding it better.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them will say suggested that the entire so the inner core's cycle is every 20. Its rotation is every 20 to 30 years rather than the 70 proposed in later studies.
Okay.
He explained why such variations occur and why it is was so difficult to understand what happens in the innermost reaches of our planet that we are standing on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or sitting or talking on radio.
Yeah.
The objects of our studies are buried thousands of kilometers beneath our feet. We use geophysical interference methods to interfere with the Earth's internal properties. And caution must be exercised until multidisciplinary findings confirm this hypothesis.
Right.
So still working on a lot of being able to understand that we obviously have not gotten to the center of the Earth.
No, no, we can't. At this point, we don't have the technology to get there.
Essentially, science fiction's real. Like, I mean, all this stuff about traveling to the inner core and these stories and all these movies and TV shows and books that we've read and seen throughout hundreds of years and stuff, all these different things that we're, you know, have all come from, you know, true science, but they have, what we're finding is there's more science fiction than we realize in the Earth's core.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more interesting than we realize. There's a lot more going on. This isn't the first time the Earth's core has done this, but it's the first time in pretty much any of our lifetimes, anybody that's listening, that this has happened. It's pretty fascinating.
It's wonderfully interesting.
Does this affect your day? Not really.
No.
Not really. Did I just throw a ton of really heavy words at you before 8 in the morning? Absolutely.
Yes, and I applaud you, by the way. You did a very good job.
Thank you for that.
First thing in the morning.
But I do think this is something everybody should be talking about. Everybody should know about. Everybody should be thinking about, at least. I'm not saying necessarily why you should. I think that that's more rhetorical.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to have their own reasons. Some people, I just think this is interesting and cool.
Yeah.
I also think that understanding our planet better and better is how we're going to be able to save our planet and keep it around longer.
Well, think about the Earth's core and the inner part of the Earth is still, like we just found out, is still kind of a mystery. The bottom of the ocean. You know, stuff we don't know, a lot of stuff we don't know about that. I mean, there's always this, our world is still so fascinating and still mysterious in a lot of ways.
We've discovered so much. If we had a news announcement right now that we're going to the moon, how many people would really turn their heads? Like, we've been there.
We've been there before, right?
To many of us, it's still very exciting and cool, but to the average American, it possibly isn't.
Yeah.
That's how old going to space is.
You know,
you've got billionaires wasting money doing it, just trying to, I don't know, overcompensating, I don't know what it is, some other things. Like, there's all these type of things we're doing. You mentioned the ocean. We've reached depths of the ocean we never have in humankind, in human history, and we still haven't even scratched the surface.
Not even
what that is. We've climbed Mount Everest tons of times, all these things, and there's still science fiction in the world. There are still things we don't completely understand.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. I mean, we like to understand. Of course, humanity has got this burning curiosity to figure out the world around us. But I love the idea that, you know, as far as we dig, there's still something more. There's still something just beyond our reach that we're still looking for.
I love that.
Yeah.
It keeps us going. And it reminds me of the worst dating advice my father ever gave me.
Okay.
Always keep them guessing, Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Always keep them guessing. Like, I don't feel like that's good advice. I'm only 13, but I don't feel like...
This is the guy who's been, you know, with the same woman since he was a teenager,
yes,
right?
Exactly, yeah. It's so easy for him. My father has no idea what dating's like.
No.
None. Neither does my mom, but they have no idea at all what it is like. So we go from the Earth's core to bears, because there is a natural segue
progression.
There. It's a very natural segue right there. Now, I can't throw something like that at everybody and not throw something a little funny and silly at you.
Of course.
We get this one from UPI.com. A trail camera set up to capture images of wildlife in Colorado was hijacked by a bear that used the camera to pose for about 400 selfies. Boulder Open Space and Mountain Parks said a wildlife camera set up in a wooded area in November snapped 580 photos in a single night. It's not uncommon. Most of those cameras usually work that way.
Right.
In reviewing the photos, they found something interesting. 400 of them were bare selfies of a single Bruin that came in for a close-up. The camera is one of 9 set up around the city of Boulder Open Space and Mountain Parks to help officials and researchers learn more about the area's diverse wildlife. There's a lot of these places that will open these up for public to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They're really awesome to watch.
Yes.
Sometimes there's nothing going on, and I'm up late at night, and I'm doing grading or working on a segment for Morning Magazine or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you put things on in the background just for white noise.
Sure.
So I'll throw these on, or the Milwaukee Zoo has their penguin camera at night. There's a couple of these I will put up. The trail camera thing, being honest, there's usually nothing going on.
No.
But every once in a while, you'll see a cougar or see some kind of animal popping out of there or something like that. I did not see this one, but I'd love to have seen, to known the reaction to that wildlife team when they're going through those videos.
Wait a minute. What are all these pictures? This one bear.
Get a phone. Get a phone, bear.
Yeah.
You know, I like bears. I'm a big fan of bears and everything. But, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Get a phone. Don't be using this wildlife camera. This is important research they're trying to do, bear. You're busy trying to take selfies, sure your hair's right in the picture and everything. Come on, bear.
Okay, so we've been hearing lately a lot of these bear stories that seem to be, you know, they're doing some... You know, some kind of smart things.
Yes.
You know, so,
yes.
You know, we've got
smarter than the average bear.
We've got climate change. We've got war. All these things to worry about. Do we need to start worrying about the bears now too? That they're going to start taking? Are they going to start slyly taking over?
I don't think you and I do.
Okay.
I don't think we do, Seth. But if you're an influencer, I think you might have to worry. I think bears might be coming for your job, influencers.
Maybe they are.
I think so.
Who's not going to watch a bear?
This is the natural evolution of animals. For them to go into social media, the takeover. They've already done it. Cats.
Yes.
Cats have taken. Cats long ago took over social media.
They did.
What was the big one of the first early memes or first things? Like you'd cut out a piece of bread and put your cat's face in it.
Like people, so weird,
so weird. I don't know who came up with that, but
no.
Kudos. And, and you made no money off of that, by the way.
Yeah. As you should not have.
It's always been building to this. Social media was never about us.
No,
it's never been for us.
It's all the animals.
And they're taking over.
It's the animals, man.
They're not taking over like actual jobs that we could use their help in. Now, while we greatly appreciate all the things that dogs and animals do, as you know, seeing eye dogs and these things, they're long past those jobs. Now they're moving into influencer jobs.
Maybe we should encourage this.
I mean, it might be better than humans doing it.
Exactly. We can get them humans to do more useful things.
Right, you're onto something right there, man. Yeah, actually.
Let's have the bears do the social media. We'll be fine.
I can tell you one thing. No team of bears is better than our team of marketers.
Our sales
and market team is way better than any set of bears.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. And that is the closest I will ever come to a segue from bears to the Civic Media $1 million advertising giveaway.
It's today.
I did do my best on that one. Today's the day, everybody.
It's here.
At 9 a.m., 1 hour, 42 minutes, 50 seconds away, you are going to be able to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a local business owner in Wisconsin and would like to advertise on the radio but haven't gotten around to it, or perhaps you don't even know how
to do it.
Maybe you're a small business and you're just building to it,
mm-hmm.
and you haven't even thought about advertising yet. Or you are a longtime business, you've had the same ad that has worked for you for maybe a decade, and you've enjoyed that ad, but you've been wanting to do something different and thinking about it. Just need that push. Just need that little to kind of do it. All of the above, small business, big businesses, local businesses, this is who we're talking to with this.
Mm-hmm.
We want everybody to be a part of this. Civic Media has been able to grow over the last year like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I keep on waiting every morning, looking at my email when I get something from Mike or Sage that it's a new station these two have bought or something.
What? Where'd that come from?
They have really been able to excel at their mm-hmm. plan and Sage's plan to kind of what they're looking to do with Civic Media,
mm-hmm.
where you come into this state, no matter where you are, what border you cross, and you're going to be able to listen to a Civic Media radio station mm-hmm. no matter where you are in the state.
Exactly.
And our coverage and our teams and our great newscasters and all this.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this? Well, you don't do it alone. And, you know, if you're smart, you don't do it all out of your own pocket, like a lot of our own owner has done.
Yes.
And just being blunt and being honest about it. Sage has been honest about this. I'll be honest about it. This is literally putting your money where your mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
How many other stations have ever done anything like this, let alone doing something right now in 2023 when our businesses need this more than ever?
Yeah, I have not heard of it.
Nothing. You have never heard of anything like this. I have worked endlessly since this promotion came across my email to see if anybody has ever done anything like this. I've mm-hmm. talked to program directors that were in this business for 60 years. They've never heard of anything like this.
Wow.
It's a new kind of idea. Civic Media is doing here. Mm-hmm. Trying to cover bases that were not covered for many years. Mm-hmm. Trying to do something that nobody really is trying to do. And be real, true local radio. It's one thing to just use it as a tagline. Mm-hmm. It's another to actually back it up.
Yep.
And that's what we're looking to do here. We've been able to do that. Thanks to our local advertisers, to local businesses.
Exactly.
I would say a big thank you to, of course, the different businesses and bigger businesses that have worked with us, and we're very appreciative of.
Of course.
But let's be honest. There's no way we're at where we are right now without local businesses, without small businesses.
Yep, that's right.
This is to help that. This is to work with that.
And you know, because radio has became kind of a, like a forgotten medium,
yeah.
What I'm saying? It became, a whole bunch of conglomerates came in and they just did, canned radio, basically.
They put on propaganda.
People. Yeah.
They would put on others, like if I have a station in Indiana, I've got all these stations from all over the country, but none of them from Indiana, and none of this stuff that necessarily you want to hear, just what I want you to hear.
Exactly. And this is one of those things where people stop advertising on radio because of this. There didn't seem to be any local touch. Well, we're trying to reverse that, and that's what this is all about. If you've been hesitant before about radio, we're giving you a chance to get in on it and see what it's all about and show you the power of radio because we can broadcast all over the state. Whatever you want to advertise, if you want to do it here, Oshkosh, Wausau, Richland Center, it doesn't matter. We can get it there. We can get your whatever message you want. We can get it out there.
Mm-hmm. We encourage you to not only sign up for this, but make sure to mention that you heard it on the morning show here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. I also did a little other digging, and it turns out WFHR is the oldest station under the Civic Media umbrella.
Well, that's not bad.
Let's show them what that means, everybody. Let's show them. Let's go ahead and get some bragging rights here, and let's show them how powerful our station is. We are the center of the state. Mm-hmm. We have an opportunity to show here that we can be a landmark station as a part of Civic Media.
Yep.
Things like this help us prove that.
Absolutely.
We know it here in the building.
We do.
Let's prove it to the rest of the state. Let's show everybody else and get some bragging rights while we're at it, because who doesn't like some bragging rights here?
That's right.
When you sign up for this, again, make sure to mention you heard this on the morning show at WFHR. Go to civicmedia.us/million to find out more information. Have that already set up on your laptop.
Just have it ready to go,
Yeah, because we're very close to this, everybody, so you want to get ready to jump in on it. You can even use a reminder for that, but again, it is civicmedia.us/million. Keep in mind that web address, civicmedia.us, is where you can find all of our shows, where we're streaming 24/7. Mm-hmm. All of our podcasts are right there. You missed something. Hey, you wanted to hear Pet of the Week this week, but you're working. You can't hear it. Listen to it on your lunch break.
Yep.
It'll be on there. Thanks to this incredible human being right next to me, our head of production, who does a fantastic job moments I'm done doing this rambling on the air, putting it on podcast and labeling and all that. I love your titles, by the way. They're so creative. I love them.
That's the fun part of it. That's really the fun part.
Civicmedia.us, have that bookmarked and help us support real radio. Help us support local, buy local. Keep up on this. Again, civicmedia.us/million.
I recommend getting in as early as you can. I got a feeling this is going to go real fast.
Yeah, this is like
$1 million, woo!
If you've ever seen, I'm really dating myself with the Brewster's Millions reference, but God, like an 80s movie. But
oh God,
if you know what I'm talking about, it's going to go a lot faster than that movie. I think the movie was like an hour and a half. Like, it's going to go even faster than that.
It is.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We sure appreciate the updates. Be sure to be listening about 8:04, 8:05 around there. We'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to that. Nice that we didn't get too much of a dusting out there today.
No.
Overnight.
We're doing okay. It's just a little light blanket, that's all.
A little slippery out there, too, I would say.
So be
careful of that, everybody.
Be careful, everybody.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar, possibly.
What's the it depends. It's freaking out. Our computer's like freaking out here.
The computer is really acting up right now. This is weird. This is where when we lean on technology, this is what happens.
It's true.
I'm going to go ahead and try to get through these.
Here. Okay. All right.
So it is National Spouses Day.
Oh, all right.
That's a good one.
So there's another day, not just your anniversary,
mm-hmm.
to celebrate your spouse.
Not only Valentine's.
There you go. That's right. Not only Valentine's Day.
I do think that there are people who are not really big on Valentine's Day mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. So maybe some of these other ones, these get you going. These mm-hmm. are the ones that get you to, you know, buy some flowers for your significant other or do something nice for each other.
Right. Yeah.
I think any day is a good day to appreciate each other. That's mm-hmm. for sure.
For sure.
If there's now, that is some advice my father did give me. While all the good advice a lot of the good advice my father gave me wasn't necessarily something he sat down and told me. It was just watching him do something.
See, yep, by example, right?
I literally have no idea how many times as a kid my dad would stop out of the blue and like grab a set of flowers or something for my mom. And hey, Jimmy, what do you think she'll think of these? I'm like, oh, the mom likes those.
Yeah.
Is it your guys' anniversary or something like that? No. Mm-hmm. Just saw them, knew she'd like them, and grabbed them.
Yeah.
There wasn't a special day or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, a good way of living a love life.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It's Australia Day.
Australia.
Well, to say it like that. Australia, a country, a continent, a land of pristine beaches and merciless deserts, adorable koalas, and murderous great white sharks. The sixth largest country in the world with but 21 million inhabitants, closer to Asia than any other continent, so close that many pop over to Bali for the weekend.
Wow.
Yet, bearing virtually no resemblance to Asia whatsoever, which is just the more fascinating part, not just about Australia and Asia, mm-hmm. but really looking at the whole country.
Yes.
It's the things we have in common with Canada and Mexico are kind of interesting when you consider how vastly different the rest of the continents are.
Yes.
And to each other, exactly. No matter how close they are. Mm-hmm. Europe is the best example of this, I would say.
Right.
There's quite a few differences, obviously, the moment you go one play to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It just speaks to how close we are, how connected we are, mm-hmm. and how unique we are.
Yeah.
National Peanut Brittle Day.
I know what you can do today, everybody. Mm. You need to look up the stand-up comedian, Paul F. Tompkins.
Yes.
And he has a bit about the old steak in the peanut brittle can which is absolutely hilarious. Look that up on Peanut Brittle Day. It's perfect for today.
Paul Tompkins, great
he's
comedian.
He's good, yes, he is.
It says that peanut brittle dates back to the 19th century.
Wow.
Okay. Oh. I'm sorry. That's not just the history of it. That's every piece of peanut brittle. Every piece of peanut brittle you've ever seen, ever had.
It was made in the 19th century?
Yes. I did. It all comes from one original piece.
That's right, yes.
Everybody's just breaking off a little piece of it.
It's huge. You just
International Customs Day. Normally, this wouldn't mean much to us. I mean, it's certainly something that we appreciate. You know, export, import, every country lives on this. It is mm-hmm. a lifeblood of the whole world and everything.
Right, exactly.
But normally, we wouldn't pay much attention. Although, after the pandemic and some of the things we've seen and had happen,
uh-huh.
now we are a little more familiar with this world.
A little more aware, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how that happens?
Yes, yeah. Very, very funny how that happens. This was originally created in 1953 and as part of a way to bring awareness to this.
Mm-hmm.
Customs in general.
Yes, indeed.
National Green Juice Day.
Oy. Mm. Okay.
While many people start a new year with lots of excitement and fervor, sometimes it can be difficult to stick to those New Year's resolutions. When one cold, dark week of January blends into the next, in fact, studies have shown that approximately 50% of Americans tend to break their resolutions even before the month of January ends.
We pick a terrible time to do these resolutions, and like the darkest month of the year.
Mm-hmm. National Green Juice Day is here to remind people about their health goals and give them a little boost of energy to get them through the rest of the month and year. I've never been much of a smoothie or shake or any of those things, guys, but the ones that I've had are really good. And I do notice a difference after I take them, most of them, at least the ones that I've been told are good for.
Right, exactly.
It is my day, everybody. This is my day. It's clashing clothes day.
Clashing clothes day.
Pair red striped pants with a green Argyle sweater. Sure thing. Put a navy houndstooth skirt on with a brown plaid jacket and a purple polka dotted tie. Why not?
Why not?
Maybe you like you're really bad at matching, so you think, hey, this blue will match with this blue. I mean, what could go wrong? And you do that almost every day of your life with every color that you own. and you're 45, and you probably should have grown a long time ago, and you're just starting to wear cardigans, and you're trying to look a little more professional. Oh, wait, man, I'm sorry. It's got a lot per.
That got very personal for a while. Yeah.
I may have went off on a tangent.
Every day is Nashville clashing clothes day.
Yes, yes. I think there is something to feeling good about how you look and something to clothes, but I don't believe that clothes make the man. I believe that how you feel in those clothes is what makes you.
You're right. You're absolutely right. That because that can give you a sense of whatever, you know, a sense of style, a sense of confidence, especially if you wear certain things. And you're absolutely right. It's more internal than external.
Yeah, maybe you feel more confident in a fitted suit that's made nicely tailored for you or something. Or maybe you feel better in the Argyle sweater with the red polka dot pants.
I mean, there you go.
To each their own. There are plenty of people that have made a great living dressing pretty weird.
Rip Taylor.
Yes, yes. it is Toad Hollow Day of Encouragement. Yeah, we all know this. No, I've never heard. What is this? While Todd Hollow is somewhat fictional place, its power to encourage people to utterly learn more about and celebrate Todd Hollow Day to encourage.
Okay,
this was started by a teacher and a storyteller named Ralph C. Morris. Toad Hollow Day of Encouragement developed naturally several decades ago. Mr. Morris was a teacher who had heard about the name of Toad Hollow Country School in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and because he loved the name Toad Hollow, he began using it creatively in some of the stories he told. When the Toad Hollow stories became popular, Kalamazoo County offered Mr. Morrison a spot in a rarely used park so that he could tell his stories. A nonprofit organization was started that built an 18,000 town and pioneer homestead in the park, which was called Todd Hollow. For several years, Toad Hollow has become a delightful place where events such as historical reenactments, Renaissance fairs, craft classes, and much more take place. Classes for skills such as candle making, quilting, blacksmithing, and soap making offer a glimpse into skills from the previous centuries. It became an opportunity for children and adults to step back in time and enjoy the past. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
I like that.
That's very nice. I do like Toad Hollow. That has a nice ring to it.
It does. I can see why you'd want to do something with that. That's a good name. That's a good name. Toad. The Midwest has some of the best county names and some of the best like city names. And
but
stuff.
I love it, the fact that Toad Hollow is in Kalamazoo, too. Yeah, you know?
It's perfect.
It's great.
Kalamazoo is another good one.
Yep.
Sheboygan.
Yeah.
Got to get that in. That's the best of the bunch. I like this. It's very cool. I also like the fact that we have something like this locally.
Mm-hmm.
This is essentially what the Historic Point Boss is in many ways.
That's true.
When we talk about that, when we have the gang from the Historic Point Boss on and everything, we're talking about keeping history alive. We're talking about living, breathing history.
Yep.
It's a lot of what they're talking about there.
It sure sounds very similar, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's very neat.
I like that. That is pretty cool. And we're going to go ahead and get to Melissa's news now, everybody. But we encourage you to stick around. We've got more good stuff coming up for you here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio.
7.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. You may wonder how I can promise you now this love that I feel for you always.
We hope you are having a great start to your day out there. I wonder how many times we play a bumper of a song and it gets somebody to have to go listen to it later.
I hope so.
Because it happens to me every day. I don't wish that on anybody, but I kind of hope it happens every day.
I hope it does too.
Is that Randy Travis?
That is Randy Travis. Okay. Yeah. I thought a little country would, you know, add a little spice, a little difference.
Well, we played 80s bumpers.
Yeah.
That was a beginning for a different stretch of country music.
That's true.
The 80s, especially the 90s, but really the 80s were. You don't get Garth Brooks and all that stuff without Randy Travis and Clint Black.
Dwight Yoakam.
And all those guys that really set the stage a different style of country that would come with Garth and all that gang of guys that came out.
You got it.
And guys and women that came out.
Yes.
The rise of women, there have always been a lot of prominent women in country music.
Yes.
But, I mean, If you had this down to the sexes, who has more album sales, women or men? I don't think it's even close. Women dominate field now.
Especially in the 90s, it exploded for women country singers.
Taylor Swift alone.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton alone.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, but a little, and that's saying that with the names we just mentioned with Garth, Randy Travis, Coin Black, all those guys.
Yep.
You put them all together still. And that women's team,
their
record sales.
I wouldn't put anything past them. Mm.
And maybe, but I don't know that for sure. I'm just pulling that out of nowhere, out of my years and years in radio and understanding the industry and stuff. But you might even consider that a myth. Well, I have five nutrition myths here that doctors are sick of.
Okay.
So let's get into that. Five nutrition myths doctors are sick of hearing. New York Times talked to leading health experts and asked them to name the top nutritional myths they are darn sick of. Number one, fresh fruit is healthier than frozen. Sometimes the canned stuff has added sugar, but in general, canned, frozen, and dried fruit have all the same nutrients as fresh fruit, and it's cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting.
If that's the only kind of fruit you can get it.
Yeah.
Because it's still got the same nutrients in it.
Well, that latter part, it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be headlined more.
Mm-hmm.
You want people to eat better. I'm all for that.
Yes.
Make it cheaper.
Exactly.
I mean,
more available. Yeah, exactly.
Well, how about make it easier on our farmers and our ag industries so that they can make it cheaper?
Exactly.
They're
not the ones that are setting the price.
No. it is the Monsantos. It is the
Cargills.
Yep. Yes. These companies out there that have almost every farm in America in a headlock.
Yep.
Just making it incredibly difficult to not only turn a profit, but to just even, keep the family farm around.
Exactly, without having to sell out to a giant farm conglomerate.
You make these things a little more affordable. I'm not saying you got to make them dirt cheap, just make them a bit more affordable. And people,
right.
I don't think people would be against spending an extra buck on a better set of greens or any of these things.
Exactly.
But you ask them to spend an extra $5 or $10, that stuff adds up.
It does.
Most American families cannot handle that.
Nope.
Quit telling me that people can make a living off of $7 an hour. We couldn't do that when you and I were kids before we were even legal to make $7 an hour, let alone now when they haven't even really changed it since we were teenagers.
Exactly.
I'm all for eating healthy, but you got to make it realistic.
More available and, like you said, more cost effective.
Number two, plant-based milk is way healthier than cow's milk. I apologize to the cows. It does have fewer calories and less fat, but cow's milk has more than twice the protein. Some of the plant-based versions also have added salt and sugar, so be careful.
Exactly.
How did we figure out we could drink milk from cows? Who was the first person to discover this?
I don't know.
I'm really curious about that.
It was a long time ago, I can tell you that.
There's certain things in history that I'd wasting a time machine, I'd go back just to see how this hey, guys, did you notice this cow is leaking? I'll fix it. Let me see what...
And then taste it.
Wait a minute. That don't taste bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet this would go great with cereal. I'm so tired of eating my cereal with direct... Obviously didn't have cereal yet.
It was just a bowl of hay back then. I need something to make it.
Oh, no, it was Cheerios.
Yeah, it was
Cheerios.
Cheerios
been around that long.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yep, they've been around a long time. myth number three, never give a toddler peanuts. Have you heard this one?
Well, I've heard. So this is what we were told when our children were born.
Mm.
Don't give them peanuts in the first year.
Mm.
And this was medical people who told us to do that.
Yeah. We used to think eating them too early in life gave kids allergies, but now experts think it's the exact opposite.
Yes, we've heard that as well.
Feeding them stuff with peanuts in it might help them avoid allergies.
Mm-hmm.
There's other parts or other things I've heard from doctors, just the ones that are talking about my own kids and everything.
Yeah.
That while you don't ever want to put your kid through anything that they don't have to go through, it is a way of sometimes finding out what your children are allergic to.
Right. And that ended up, it was a complete accident. We found out that that my youngest was allergic to peanuts. And he was only 18 months old before, he can really communicate anything. We noticed, some breakout, some hives and stuff that broke out. So we got him tested, blood tested. And sure enough, that's when we first found out he had a peanut allergy.
Yeah. And I know you and Beth. I know how good of and caring and insightful parents you are. I know my ex-wife Mandy and I were as well. Mm-hmm. And we just could not, our youngest Isabel, we could not figure out what was wrong. We did. Mm. We even had a spinal tap done on her.
Wow.
And still could not find it and everything. And turns out she's lactose intolerant.
Yep.
Like, I mean, you know, and so you find those things out, but it's not an easy game
to
figure
out. No, it's not.
It's not fun.
It's not.
And as, you know, we all... our kid stubs a toe, and we're immediately, you know, feeling it, yep. empathy-wise and everything, let alone those kind of things.
Exactly.
Myth number four. It is really hard for vegetarians to get enough protein. As long as you eat a mix of veggies, it's easier than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts, grains, and beans have lots of protein.
They do. That's one thing. And as a bean lover myself... Man, I know I don't eat enough, which is crazy because I love them. I love chili. I love, you know, bean soup. I love all kinds of stuff with beans in it. So,
you and I have.
Great. Oh. I was just going to say, I mean, they are a great source of protein, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You and I have so much in common and share a brain so often. Mm-hmm. I love it when there's things. I hate beans. I can't stand
We have actual
beans.
Differences,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
The texture of
is
a
it
bean
really? Okay.
drives me insane. I love chili. Mm-hmm. I could eat chili like twice a week at least. Yeah. I love chili. Not with beans. No beans.
Just got it.
No beans.
I believe, and my dad read a book about the history of chili.
Mm.
And the original chili that they used on the cattle drive stuff, the cowboys that used it, they called it a bowl of red. That's what they called it.
Mm.
They did not have beans in it.
Oh, really?
So the original chili did not have beans
in
it.
Wow. Man, I gotta meet your dad. I met him like once briefly and all that, but I really gotta meet him.
For many years, he collected chili and bean recipes. He's got a huge tin full of clippings of bean recipes, yeah.
I gotta hang out with this guy. This is my kind of guy. I like that. Can we get over this too as a society? And I don't expect everybody to get in on this one, but the idea that these are fads or that people are doing these things because they quote there are some people that are doing it because they want to, but the majority of people do it because it's a health concern. They have to do this. They don't imagine being a Wisconsinite and you can't enjoy dairy products. You think anybody chooses that?
Yeah,
like that's
exactly.
That's a fad? That's something that people want to do?
What was it Terry a couple weeks ago said, you know, who doesn't like cheese?
Yeah.
You know, except for the people who can't eat cheese.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's very easy for you to tell another person what to do with their body or what's going on with their body or, hey, walk it off, hey, get over it or all those things. I've seen the damage that this stuff can do to people when they don't listen to their body, when they don't do those things.
Yep.
Actually, I shouldn't say I've seen it. I don't see them again because they're in the bathroom or they're throwing up or something like that. Those don't seem like fads to me.
Yeah, doesn't sound very fun either. So, yeah.
Number five, basic nutritional advice changes constantly. The basic advice hasn't actually changed much since the 1950s. Don't eat too much and try to eat more plants than meats.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, there you go.
That has basically been the thing for, like they said, for many decades now. It hasn't changed, you know? If you want to lose weight, don't eat as much food. I mean, that's the surefire way to lose weight is don't eat as much food. Yeah.
I think that I understand the pushback. I understand the frustration. We, all of us that grew up with a food pyramid, and then we're taking our kids to school, and we see this food pyramid didn't look anything like when we were kids. The old joke about eggs, you know, you wait a day and eggs are going to be good for you. Wait another day, they'll be bad for you, kind of thing. I get the frustration with it, but that doesn't mean that you throw it all out.
Yes.
Just because certain things are like this. Just because certain people out there don't understand the definitions of words, like a vaccine doesn't mean cure. That kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean that one person, it worked, you know, in this percentage of people, so we're not going to do it anymore. That's life. You don't get 100% of anything in life.
No, not really.
We learn this every day when we do our surveys, and you have things that seem pretty obvious. Hey, breathing seems good. I guarantee you, you do a poll right now. How many people like breathing? Go ahead, do it.
98%.
You're going to get 97%, man. You ain't even going to get 100% on that. No. What are we doing here? So, yeah, I think that it's understandable to get frustrated, but it's also important to trust science and trust the people that have actually put their lives and dedicated their to this.
Right. It's interesting. The whole, you know, it's funny you mentioned the food pyramid and the change. Because I remember when we were kids, it was the four food groups, remember?
Yes.
And then it changed. the history of the food pyramid is fascinating. All of the backroom deals and stuff that happened.
Yeah.
It was one of the big food industries that had a real problem with. I think it was the beef cattle industry. It's just, I mean, the whole thing is just interesting how it came about, why it was delayed, all these things. It's a really interesting history.
I was just thinking about documentaries that I would like to watch, but there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And I think an easier way of doing it was, well, okay, what's a subject that I would like to see a documentary on?
That's a good, there you go.
That I'd like to see one on.
The
food pyramid, they actually because that the backroom deals and the rubbing of shoulders and everything. Hey, put this one in the hello
between
the
food industry and members of Congress and the government and stuff. Yeah, I heard a podcast where they did a bunch of research about it, about this whole thing. It was just a fascinating story.
I've had people ask me who would want to do the you make every political position minimum wage. Every single one. Minimum wage. You can't get outside funds or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, then who would want to do those jobs? Well, who's wanting to do the jobs right now that are for minimum wage?
Exactly.
I mean,
there's your point.
You really want to get money out of politics. You're not going to get it out of politics. What you could do, though, is have a cap. Mm-hmm. Have what the baseball owners did way back in the day when they are tired of these players getting too much of our money, even though these guys were, burning money, literally.
Yeah, basically.
We'll put a cap. That'll show them. We'll put a cap on this and everything.
We're going to put a cap on there to keep ourselves from spending money.
Nobody was making them do this. It was themselves. Billionaires.
They were the ones that couldn't stop themselves.
Thinking they could buy a World Series.
Yeah. Anyway.
Take a break. Come back. Have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR. We're a locally grown radio. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Remember, they're going to join us at about 8:03 to kick off the 8 o'clock hour in our segments and going into Misty's and all the other fun stuff we'll have next hour for you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 9 o'clock hour, of course, we'll be joined by our friends from the Southwood County Humane Society with our Pet of the Week. Looking forward to that. Of course, at that 9 o'clock hour, this 8 o'clock hour coming up is going to be leading us perfectly into the Civic Media Million Dollar Advertising Giveaway.
That's coming up so fast, everyone.
CivicMedia.us/million. Have that bookmarked. Have it up on your laptop, your computer, wherever whatever you're using.
Man,
your device.
Just an hour away. Mm-hmm. Just an hour away.
There have been plenty of arguments about which fast food establishments have the best fries. But once you get them, how do you prefer to eat them?
Okay.
A poll asked people how they like their fries. They asked about McDonald's specifically, but it can probably be applied across the board, depending on different sauces that might be at various places. I disagree with that completely.
Oh, okay.
But we'll continue.
We'll get into that, yeah.
So, depending on the different sauces that might be offered at various places, here are the stats we got. 49% of people say that they eat them just as they are without any dipping.
49. Wow. Okay, that's higher than I thought.
39% say that they are best with ketchup. 7% dip them in barbecue sauce.
Makes sense.
Yeah. 6% in sweet and sour sauce. And just 2% of people want them by themselves without salt, which is something you can ask for.
Oh, I suppose that makes sense.
I've seen my dad do this many, many times, pretty much my whole life. We're big. We used to go to Burger King all the time. This one that was right under the L train, one of the L's in downtown Chicago.
Right.
And my dad would order fries, and then he would put salt on them. And I just didn't understand. I mean, those fries are already salty.
Yeah.
And this is something he would do. Now, uncoincidentally, I think, about 20 years ago, maybe it was, my papa, his dad and my dad, both decided to stop salt. So they don't put salt on anything anymore.
Wow.
But they had to because of their blood pressure was out of whack and everything.
Right.
I see people do this all the time, that your fries already come with salt on them.
Yeah.
Unless you ask for it without.
Yeah.
More times than not, most fast food places, they do. I think certain places douse their fries in salt. Others maybe lightly douse them.
A little bit lighter, yeah.
So I don't agree that McDonald's fry is the same as another fry because they're all different.
Yeah.
The way that they prepare them, the type of grease,
oil they use.
Thank you. Oil they use and salts and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a type of condiment or thing you use on your fries that wasn't in this list?
Well, I find it fascinating that in the U.S., the fact that most people like them just by themselves,
yeah,
which is the way I eat them now. When I was younger, I would use just partially to be contrary, but partially because it's my favorite condiment. I'd use mustard.
Because
I love mustard. That's one of my that is my favorite condiment. When you go over to Europe, vinegar is the big thing they put on potatoes, especially fries, when you have any kind of fried potato. And I thought, wow, that's interesting that that's not even on the list in the United States.
No.
It's not even on the list, which I find really remarkable. That's interesting.
I know I had a friend. Well, I think we've all had the friend that dipped him in milkshakes. My sister, I think it was, used ranch sometimes with her fries. To the point where she would like bring like a little packet of ranch or see if they had a packet of ranch or something like that at the place.
That's great.
But you mentioned putting mustard on them, if anything, to be different.
Yeah.
I don't think you would ever have gotten me to admit this when I was young, but the only reason I can think of why I put pepper on my fries was to be different.
Just to be different.
I liked it, actually. I ended up liking it. I do it every once in a while now. And I like eating the majority. I'm one of those people, I can't eat a single fry. I got to grab the three, the four. Like, how are you with that? Do you got to grab a bunch?
No, I generally grab more than one. So, I don't know if you've already kind of shown your hand here. What's your favorite of the fast food fries?
That's tough. I really like Culver's. I like Chips. Chips has got good ones, too.
For me, here, Culver's and Chips are like the top two. Those are my favorites because I like really the good. Crinkle.
Me, too. Fries. Yes, yeah. I like a harder fry. I don't like a soft fry.
Yeah, me, too.
But I'm not going to turn down a fry at most places. This is one of the few things of potato that I actually eat. Yeah. So
you and my children. Really? Yes. Yeah.
That's real great to have something in common with kids.
Yeah.
But when it comes to eating, that's real good. I can't think of the weirdest one. I think maybe the weirdest one is chocolate. Any type of chocolate that I've seen with potatoes.
Potato and chocolate seems a little weird to me.
Very weird to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not big on combining foods in general. That one,
although there are people who like the chocolate covered potato chips.
That's true.
And I have tried those, and they're actually not too bad. So I shouldn't cast aspersions.
I don't begrudge anybody that.
Yeah, right. Of course not.
To each their own, of course. But yeah, you're a little weirder than I am. That's saying something. We're all weird. That's the whole
thing. We're all weird.
We'll take a break. We'll get to CBS News here. We'll come back with some more fun with our Weather Eye Weather Center people and plenty more on the morning show at WFHR.